Museum in Ashland, Oregon, a project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. And 5 o'clock on Wednesdays means it is Beer Radio.
All right, wasn't that a great quiet version of In Heaven There Is No Beer? Well, I can hear it on the radio. We're having some technical issues, so forgive us as we work through some of these. But hopefully you can hear it. And if you can't, I apologize. Anyway, so I'm Ginger Johnson, your host with Beer Radio, coming to you from KSKQ.org in Ashland, Oregon. We are live. Apologies if we just got to your earlobes. We were just going through some equipment issues. No big deal, but here we are. So thanks for joining us again. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host on Beer Radio. We come to you live every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. in Ashland, Oregon. And we have an extra special in-studio guest this week, and we will get to him in just a few minutes. You can get in touch with us at any time. You can reach me at Ginger Johnson. Excuse me, I'm Ginger Johnson. There it is. I love live radio. Ginger at womenenjoyingbeer.com. You can also tweet along with us at Women Enjoy Beer. We're also on Facebook at Women Enjoying Beer. We're glad to be here on KSKQ Community Supported Radio. And we found out today that our guest has a friend. Tell me the name again. Val.
Val Handel.
Val Handel. Thanks to Val, if he is listening or streaming, for his donating to the Power to the Tower fundraiser. We're looking to raise at least $5,000 when we reach $5,000 to help get that high power tower operable. We have a matching grant, so it's a double whammy. So consider donating to Community Supported Radio, kskq.org. You can go online and do it very simply. Don't worry, I won't stump a lot or ask for fundraising very often, but know that you can give to us anytime, and we are grateful for every penny. So here we are in Ashland, Oregon again, another episode of Beer Radio. We've got our fabulous guest, Craig McFeeters. Craig, say hello to everybody.
Hello.
And Craig is the newest brewer in Southern Oregon. Are you the newest brewer in Oregon by chance?
I don't know that.
You don't know that. Okay. You're certainly the newest one in Southern Oregon, yes?
Yes, I'm the newest one in Southern Oregon.
All right, excellent. So Craig, you started Bricktown Brewing Company. I got that right, yes? It's Bricktown Brewing.
Okay. Yes, you got that right.
So thanks for joining us. You look all spiffy, even though the audience can't see that. Most brewers have a good sense of style, if I do say so myself. So tell us a little bit. First of all, I want to make sure that people can find you online. So tell us how people can find you online, Craig.
I have a website, and it's www.bricktownbeer.com. Bricktown is spelled with an E at the end of town, so it's a little bit of a misnomer, but you can reach me there.
Okay, and are you on Facebook or any other online?
I have a personal site on Facebook, but I don't have one for the brewery per se.
We'll get there. Yeah. It's a great site. It's a nice site, by the way. If you haven't looked at it yet, I would encourage you. And besides my own bias towards Craig and his quality beer, it's a nicely done site. And I just sent in an article to the New Brewer magazine. Do you get that magazine, Craig?
I don't.
Okay, you're going to join the BA one of these days?
I fully intend to. Yes.
I'll just keep asking you. But the New Brewer magazine. I'm guessing you've seen some issues of those. Have you? I need to share some of those with you if you haven't seen any.
I don't remember. Maybe I have. I've seen a lot of magazines. I don't know if it's the New Brewer that I've seen.
Okay, because it's an industry magazine. Probably be really helpful and useful for you as well. But I just finished an article on website evaluation and looking at that. So that is on my mind. So Bricktown with an E, beer.com. Check them out. Give them some feedback. Take a look. Now, where can people find your beer in Southern Oregon right now?
We're pretty small, so right now all my beer is put into kegs. Mm-hmm. I deal exclusively with 1/6 barrel at this point. And I had a draft line at Jackson Creek Pizza. They rotate beers out there, so I'm not there currently. But
okay.
Shoji's, Roscoe's, Barbecue. I'm working on Kaleidoscope. I have a meeting with Ben tomorrow out there.
Excellent. Give him some pressure from me, because we had a beer dinner out there, so there's no reason he shouldn't
have your beer on tap.
Do that.
Sure, give him some pressure. So he's going to try all three of my different styles of beer that I am brewing right now.
Excellent. Okay, so I'll bite. What are the three styles you're brewing right now?
Right now we're kind of focusing on our summer ale. It's a 25% white wheat, is in the grain bill, and it's brewed with Cascade hops, and then it's secondarily fermented with fresh lemon juice.
Okay, and when you say, since Beer Radio hits everybody in the beer community, from consumers and homebrewers to professionals and marketing people, what does secondary fermentation mean?
Means after the primary is done and it's gotten pretty much all the conversion of the sugars to alcohol, it's racked to a secondary vessel, and it's at that point that I put the fresh lemon juice in it.
Okay.
Part of that is, if I put the fresh lemon juice in at the beginning, some of the flavor actually gets fermented out.
Oh.
The yeast actually eats some of it and takes some of that flavor away.
Are those volatiles, or what are?
Just sugars.
Okay.
Simple sugars that occur in fruit.
Okay.
So I'm finding that by putting it in the secondary, I'm having more of a lemon profile, more like what I want it to be.
That sounds tasty. So. And is that on tap somewhere right now, you say?
It's on tap at Roscoe's.
Oh, I guess I'm going to have to take a trip back to Roscoe's soon. How big are the kegs that you, did you say 6th barrel?
They're 1/6th barrel,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, tell and us what size capacity that
that's about 5
is.
Gallons. It's
okay.
5.14 gallons.
5.14, excellent. Okay, and tell us, you got two more beers. You got Flowin' right now. What are the other ones?
I have my Table Rock Red is on draft at Cedar Links restaurant. They put in a new restaurant out the golf course out there.
Right.
And
in Medford.
In Medford.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have English Pale Ale that I am brewing. And the red and the pale are kind of our flagship beers for the brewery.
Okay, and how did you choose those to be your flagship beers, Craig?
Well, I got into this by being a home brewer, and those were probably two of my best homebrewed beer.
Okay.
The most enjoyed, that people seem to go back to the tap for time and time again.
And not just because they were thirsty or they just liked beer in general.
I don't know. Maybe
really
it was that it was
that
free.
I
don't know.
Well, it's a good price, but I would guess that certain things that are free don't initially go unless they're good, too.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Okay. Cool. And now you... you helped set us up to meet Kelly Jansen out at Cedar Links in Medford. And so it looks like we're going to maybe do something this winter together.
Yes.
And that's pretty exciting. Now he's up to his eyeballs with golf balls, as it might be right now, since it's a family-owned golf course in Medford. In case you are listening in and you don't know where Medford, Oregon is, Medford is about, 12 miles from? No, other way. Sorry, I'm going backwards. It is about 30 miles, 25 to 30 miles north of California. And about, as the crow flies, about an hour and a half in from the West Coast proper. So it's a beautiful area of the country, even if I do say so myself.
Mm-hmm.
And are you from Medford originally, Craig, or where?
No, I was born in Redmond, Oregon, which is near Bend.
Okay.
And Bend has a lot of breweries,
mm-hmm.
if anybody knows Bend, Oregon.
Yes. Are they up to, 11 now? Something like that?
That's
crazy.
I don't know, but I do have a draft account in Central Oregon.
Oh.
And my beer sells pretty well over there.
Excellent.
Almost better than it does here in Southern Oregon.
And where is it on tap in Central Oregon?
My folks own a pub in Culver, a little town called Culver, Oregon, and it's between Madras and Redmond, and it's called the Bad Monkey.
And that's C-U-L-V-E-R, is that right? Culver,
yes.
Oregon? Okay.
Yes.
The Bad Monkey.
And they always, it doesn't matter what I'm brewing, they put it on tap, so.
It's good to have the family support, isn't it? I had the pleasure of meeting your folks at the Battle of the Bones.
Yeah,
that was cool. They were standing there. Well, I hadn't seen you and Nicole and the kids yet, and they were standing in line, and I looked and I saw Bricktown Beer on the polo shirts. I said, oh, okay, well, you know what? This is still a nice, cozy business. There can't be that many people out there that have this great gear on, so I'm gonna walk up to them. I just walked up to them. They're very friendly, and it was fun to talk to them, so that was pretty cool. They had a good time, I'm guessing.
They did. They love beer.
Yeah. Well, besides your getting into beer, they love beer.
They love beer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How long have they had the monkey? Bad Monkey?
They've had it for about 3 years now, I think.
Huh.
And they are relocating to Medford, so.
Oh, okay. So are they going
to? Well, it's part of our thought process to open a tap house in the future and have right. them run it.
Oh, since they have that experience.
Yeah, I would continue to supply them with the beer, but it'd be all exclusive Bricktown.
Sure. Brewing. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to talk about that a little later, too, okay. but that's a fun foreshadowing. Can't wait to hear more about that. Where does the name Bricktown come from for you, Craig?
Well, when I first moved here, I always thought that a brewery would do phenomenally in Jacksonville.
Mm.
And so walking around Jacksonville, you've got all these brick buildings. It's real historic,
mm-hmm.
old town. And that's where my name came from. It's named in celebration of Jacksonville having one of the first brick buildings in the state of Oregon.
Ah.
So I named it with the intent that perhaps in the future I'd be in Jacksonville.
All right. And is that still a future possibility?
We are looking.
Okay.
Yes, and we're looking to the future for that.
Excellent. That's exciting. Very cool.
Jacksonville's our first choice. However, Medford does have a lot of brick buildings in its downtown. So that is also a possibility.
Very good. How did you find out that Jacksonville had the first brick building?
It's on their historical website. I read it on their history.
Okay.
The history of Jacksonville. I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Historical yeah. society or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So when you were thinking of names for it, where did you go? I mean, obviously you came across this site somehow, but what was the thought process in naming the brewery? Where did you start to think, and how did you start to think, oh, I could name it this, or I could name it this, or I'm going to look on this site, or how did that all happen for you?
Well, I wanted to name it something that was local to us.
Okay.
And a lot of my beer names are locally, they're local names.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, searched around. I bounced around the idea of Sterling Creek Brewery, landmarks,
okay.
you know, Howard Prairie something,
okay.
I don't know.
Kind of like your Table Rock Red is named
yeah,
after the Table
yeah,
Rock formation
right.
here. Okay.
Like my English ale, Siskiyou Pass English ale.
Okay.
And, you know, I was looking at Dutchman's Peak. I mean, okay. we have so many landmarks around here that are
we
named
do.
Something and something
right.
neat.
Right.
That it kind of makes a natural flow.
Sure. And there was no, like, McFeeder's Point or anything like that. So.
Nah, my name's too weird. I can't do that.
It's unique?
Well, it's like Nanny McPhee. People are like, you know, how do you spell McFeeder's? I have to say, you know, big P, little C. Yeah.
Then that wasn't really a real viable option to name
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'd
big
be
P, little C.
Yeah, I'd be explaining that over and over and over. So, yeah,
this beer is brought to you by Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Not probably quite the brand imaging you were going after.
Yeah, not really. Marketing to the wrong crowd.
Yeah, I think the public broadcasting company would have something to say about that.
I think so.
That is kind of funny to think about. So, cool. All right, and so how much beer are you making right now?
It's a small brewery, one barrel, batches
okay.
at a time.
And one barrel and is how big?
Is
how much?
31 gallons.
Okay, thank you. So the average keg, just to make sure everybody gets a visual, the average keg we see is a half barrel, yes?
Right.
And that's 15 and a half gallons.
Right.
Okay, keep going.
Unless you're dealing in British units, and you got a 50-liter
right.
keg, which is like 13.9
right.
some
and
change.
And all the hectoliters yeah. and all this other good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm brewing on average about once a week.
Okay. One batch.
Yeah.
Okay. One barrel one time a week on average.
Yeah.
Okay.
On average. You know, I've gotten ahead and gotten caught up, so I'm kind of taking it easy because I'm running out of refrigeration storage for all my kegs. So
sure.
I'm letting stuff age and building up accounts now while I have some inventory.
Sure. Exactly. That's exciting. Who are, maybe you can't talk about this, but I obviously by your reference of building up accounts, you've got some targets on the horizon, like Kaleidoscope, like you mentioned. You're going to talk with them because they have multi-tap and high volume, great
yeah,
exposure. Which one would you, do you have a preference on which one you'd put
I'm
there?
I'm taking all three
okay.
for Ben to sample.
All right.
He had mentioned they have a lot of IPAs and a lot of pale ales.
Yes.
So he said maybe my red would be good,
mm-hmm.
my English pale might be good.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't know, maybe the summer, because
mm-hmm.
it seems like summer's finally here. It's been
what
cold.
What are you saying?
Lately,
has
so
it been?
It's been cold.
For Southern Oregon, yes, it's been cold and
yeah.
rainy for a change.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, your red would probably be an excellent choice. I mean, all your beers are good, but you're right. If you're looking at finding a good spot in the lineup they already have and making the convincing argument. Your red, which I had when you so graciously had me over to your brewery, it's very nice and would go with a lot of their different foods.
Yeah.
That maltiness would really, you know, because they do a lot of pizza. If you don't know what Kaleidoscope is, it's a high volume, really family friendly, fun, funky pizzeria, and they've got a multi tap. And we Women Enjoying Beer did a beer dinner there, their first ever beer dinner. Now they've had a number of them. Maybe you and I should talk to them about doing a Bricktown beer.
My wife
beer
was
dinner.
At one
I
of the
know
dinners
your
out at Kaleidoscope.
Fabulous wife. She was at the yeah. inaugural one with us.
Was that it? Okay.
That was it. Yep, yeah. That was back in January. 1/11/11. So providential.
Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect.
Now we just need to have Kelly do a beer dinner out at Cedar Links, huh?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would. Yeah. Or beer brunch. I like brunch idea.
Brunch.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, beer, you know, not just for dinner anymore.
Well, yeah, maybe like an oatmeal stout.
Yeah, or great, some sort of, you know, like you talk about your summer ale, which has some wheat in it, be great with some waffles or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you that can't see this, Craig is watering his mouth. Yes. All right. Yeah. Okay. Hang on, let me get your rag for that. Anyway, you are listening to Beer Radio. I am Ginger Johnson, your host. Thanks for joining us today. Just a reminder, you can listen live on 89.5 FM dial. You can stream it always. Thanks for those of you that stream it at kskq.org. And we also archive the shows. And so anybody who wants to listen to it any old time, I like to listen to the radio when I'm working in my garage. And you can turn on the archives wherever it's convenient for you. We have our special guest, Craig McFeeters, today with Bricktown Brewing Company out of Medford, Oregon today. And this is great. Craig is the newest Southern Oregon brewery, and we've had his beer. We don't have any in studio today, and we're going to have to remedy that by going out to one of your fabulous accounts. Repeat again, Craig, in Southern Oregon or in Oregon in general, where people can find Bricktown on tap.
They can find it at Roscoe's Barbecue. Cedar Links.
In Jacksonville.
Roscoe's is in
not in
Phoenix.
Roscoe's, in Phoenix, excuse me. Right, okay.
And then Cedar Links put in a new restaurant in Medford.
Okay, and Cedar Links is a golf club and restaurant,
golf
correct?
Golf course, yeah, and they're on Cedar Links Drive.
That's rather appropriate, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it fits.
Okay, keep going.
And I believe I'm going back on tap at Shoji's.
Spell that for me, Craig.
Shoji's is Shojis.
Okay.
And that's a teppanyaki Japanese restaurant.
Oh, I'm sorry, a what?
Teppanyaki.
What does that mean?
I think that means that they cook it right in front of you. They've got the fire and the show. And
okay.
Yeah, it's really fun. And they just put in a bar. So they never had a bar before. And now they've got a full service bar with six taps. And all the mixed drinks and area wines. And and it's a whole nother section. And they'll actually serve you dinner in the bar.
Okay. So. And then which one of your beers is that on tap at Shoji's?
It was the red.
Okay.
I don't know what he's going to request now.
Okay.
But he's calling me to request something. It might be the summer ale, actually.
Sure.
It seems like the summer ales are selling really well this time of year. So.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that summer ale. I'm curious. How would you describe it?
It finishes real dry, and I did that on purpose. I mashed in at a low temperature, so I had a lot of simple sugars, so the yeast would eat a lot of the sugar and drop it down. It would attenuate well.
Okay.
Well, it dropped down real low, and it only finishes at about a 4.3%.
Alcohol.
So it's, right, so
nice.
It's light. You can have more than one or
very
two
sessionable.
Or three. Yeah, very sessionable.
Love it.
It finishes with that wheat. It's got kind of a wheat fullness, sweetness. I don't quite know how to describe it. It's
delicious.
It was brewed with a clean yeast. It wasn't like a Hefeweizen yeast.
Okay.
So it has no banana or clove ester to it. It's real clean.
All right.
The real fruit flavor you get on the finish is the lemon.
Okay.
And yeah, I was afraid that an estery yeast, like a wheat yeast, would cover up that lemon.
Sure, absolutely, because those can be very floral and fruity and things like that. Yeah, cool. Well, that's excellent. I'm going to have to look at finding a glass of that pretty soon, or two, since it's a session beer. I love that.
Yeah, it drinks easy.
Yeah. What is the, just for reference too, what is the ABV or the alcohol by volume on your red and on your English?
My red is it bounces between 5.5, 5.6.
Okay.
The English is usually around 4.8, 4.9. And it actually falls into a premium bitter category, which is one step down from, most people know, an ESB, an extra special bitter. This is in that family, but it would be one classification down from it.
Okay. Excellent. Cool. Well, we're going to take a break here. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors and hear another quick, well, hopefully we'll hear a song this time. I think we've got that worked out. You are listening to Beer Radio. I am Ginger Johnson, your host, and we will be right back with special guest Craig McFeeters of Bricktown Brewing.
Ashland Historic Railroad Museum is a supporter of KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. This nonprofit museum is dedicated to educating the public about the historical importance of this region's railroad. Every month, the second Friday History Night features local historians, writers, lecturers, musicians, and films dealing with the railroad or Ashland history. The museum is located upstairs at 258 A Street, Suite 7. Call 541-261-6605 or visit ashlandrrmuseum.org for more information. KSKQ thanks Ashland Historic Railroad Museum and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
Welcome back to Beer Radio. I am Ginger Johnson, your host. We are coming to you live from Southern Oregon. It's a nice, warm, sunshiny summer day, July 27th, I believe, last time I checked. And you are tuning in either online, streaming at kskq.org, and we thank you for that, or you are listening live on 89.5 FM on your dial. Want to stump just a little bit? We're having a Power to the Tower fundraiser. Every single dollar counts, and we appreciate every single dollar. We want to get the high power tower all taken care of, and we have a matching grant. And so if we make $5,000, we get $5,000 more. And so if you can help us out, we sure are appreciative. If you enjoy listening, then consider giving. Today we have an extra special guest, Craig McFeeters, and one reason he's extra special is because not only does he have great beer, but he is here in the studio, and I don't get too many in-studio guests, so this is exciting. This is a real glamorous studio downtown Ashland. I say that slightly tongue-in-cheek, but it's nice, and I got great colleagues, and it's a great place to be. Craig is with Bricktown Brewing in Medford, Oregon, Southern Oregon's newest brewery, correct?
Yes.
And when did you open your doors for business?
Oh, I think it was about 4 months ago.
Okay, so let's see, we're in the middle of July now, so middle of April?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right around tax season.
Yeah, that sounds right. People were going to need some libation to get past that, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
You should do some sort of free beer on tax day once your taxes are done, or bring your return in and get a free beer.
That's a good idea, actually.
We could do something like that next year. Or maybe, what is the extension date, October 15th or something like that?
Yeah, that'd be fun too.
Yeah. But maybe that would encourage people to put it off, which we don't necessarily want to do.
That's true.
It's the reward for people that file on time. Anyway, Bricktown Brewing, great new brewery in Medford, Oregon. You can find them online. Tell us again where you can find. We can find you online.
That's bricktownbeer.com, and there's an E at the end of town, and it's all one word, so it's kind of spelled funny. It's bricktownybeer.com.
Have you had anybody call and pronounce it that way?
Well, only for phonetic reasons for spelling, but no, not really.
Not Bricktowne or?
I guess it could be. Teach their own.
Yes, indeed. And your own beer is delicious. You got three styles on tap right now.
Three styles.
At different places in both Southern Oregon and Central Oregon.
Yes.
Very cool. Now, can they find, if they go to your site, Craig, can they find where those beers are on tap?
I was posting online where they were on tap. I think it's up to date.
Okay.
I have
You're gonna
to go
need
back
to check
and
that.
I'm going to need to check
okay,
that. So
that.
Note to self.
Okay.
Exactly.
So the intent is that you'll have the
yes.
locations on
yes.
your site so people can say, gosh, I'm thirsty for a Bricktowne brew.
Right.
this is where I can go.
And I've even left up, you know, places that rotate.
Okay, great.
Beers because sometimes I may not be there, but at other times I will be.
Sure. And it says that those locations are rotating?
Are rotating.
Okay.
Like Jackson Creek, he rotates his beers all the time.
Sure.
Actually, a lot of places I'm finding rotate their beers.
Okay.
So,
Why do you suppose that is?
I think they want to keep it a variation. You know, I think people like to try new and different things, and you can achieve that by rotating your taps.
Right. And you probably know this too, but the of all the styles of beer and all the categories of beer, the seasonals, the ones that change constantly, are the number one style lumped together for all beers. I mean, it's more than IPAs, it's more than reds or anything else, which that's a huge mixed bag of treats, so that's cool. Excellent. So let's see here. Let's talk. You shared with us a little bit about the history and where you came up with the name and so forth. Let's look forward, Craig. And when we were visiting here before the show started, you said there's some future plans that you're excited about. So why don't you share a little bit of what you want to share about what's in store for Bricktown Brewing?
Well, my folks run a small pub in Culver, and they are moving from Culver to Medford. And one of the things we are wanting to do is open a tasting room to start off, and eventually we'd offer some food, and it would turn into a pub. One of the things I'd like to offer that I have never seen before in a brew pub or brewery.
Do tell.
Is a home brewer's line. So there would be like a tap handle, or maybe even two tap handles, reserved for those home brewers that bring beer to me. We taste it together. If it's fantastic, which most homebrew is, we will brew it together in my brewery.
Okay.
And then serve it on tap under my license with their name on the tap.
Okay,
handle.
So it's kind of like the pro-am at the Great American Beer Festival. The people that participate in the pro-am are home brewers that have this great recipe, and then they put it in a competition at a brewery of choice that's participating, and then they do a contest, and then whoever wins, that brewery creates or makes that beer based on the recipe with that brewer.
The idea behind this, too, is that it'd never be the same.
Right.
It'd always be different.
Nice.
There'd always be different beers coming in. You know, the guy who brewed it is going to bring in his family, his friends, or the woman. They're going to come in and they're going to enjoy their beer with their friends and family, and they're going to say, check this out. I'm actually public. I have a name on a tap handle.
That's very exciting.
And I make my own tap handles, too, so I'd even give them the tap handle when we're done.
So, gosh, all kinds of possibilities with that. That's really exciting for people to see. Plus, then those people who are already advocates of Bricktown beer are going to become raving lunatic advocates because their beer's on tap. They're going to tell even more of their friends, and that's just great for the beer community
and
in general.
And it's a way for me to always have a different beer all the time.
Right.
And then I can keep brewing my flagship beers that stay on draft.
Right.
I'm part of a club, a BJCP, a Beer Judging Certification Program club, where we taste every 2 weeks. We get together and we go through our BJCP program, and they're all homebrewers. And homebrewers, I just love them. These guys are the best. They're down to earth, good people, and I really want to do something for the homebrewing community, and I think that's one way I can give back.
That's very cool. I'm already having delusions of grandeur with you on this one, so I can see this wall of, and I got to think of some clever word, but some wall of their picture and pull on the tap, and you know, you and the brewer standing next to each other hoisting the first one, and you know, people coming like, hey, that was my beer, or that's my neighbor, or you know,
absolutely,
I want to brew a beer like that. That would be fun.
And with me being as small as I am, mm-hmm, only one barrel brewery,
nimble,
it's real easy to do those sorts of things. And even if we get the brew pub and we put in a minimum, I'd like to see a 5-barrel system in there, more likely a 7 to 10. I will keep my 1-barrel system as a pilot brewery, and then I can continue to do the homebrewing line on that system.
Right.
And I can continue to experiment and do experimental brews on the 1-barrel system.
Very cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you'll keep us posted of where and when and all that good stuff. Do you have a newsletter that people can sign up for on your website yet?
Not yet, but that's a great idea. I'm going to do it.
Well, I know someone that would help you if you need help, so
there
let
we go.
Me know.
I know exactly who to look toward.
This is a crazy woman who runs around Southern Oregon. Cool. So you alluded to, let's talk a little bit, Craig, because the first time we met in person, I was at your brewery, which is in Medford. And you shared a little bit more of your history with me, and you just threw out another acronym, the BJCP, Beer Judge Certification Program, correct?
Yes.
And why don't you tell people, I'm curious to know how you got into that organization to begin with, because I trust you did it when you were a homebrewer, and how that fits in with what you do now, having a commercially available beer.
Well, that's a great question. And
there's a couple. So
we'll start at the beginning. The BJCP, how I got involved in that was Bob Bacolus, who owns Grains, Beans, and Things.
Bob is a great guy.
He needed judges for the Harvest Fair and some different homebrew competitions.
Okay.
So he thought of a bunch of guys that come into his homebrew shop regularly, mm-hmm, and I was one of them. And we got together for a class, and we met, it must have been for 6 to 7 months, and we went through things that are going to be on the BJCP certification exam.
Okay.
We broke it down to the science of mashing, of malting, and then mashing, and hops, and lupulin oils and hops. I mean, we really had a beer school that went on for about 7 months.
Okay.
And not only did we do that, but then we went through all the styles of beer that the BJCP has lined out.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is what, 80 or what is the, do you remember?
There's a lot.
There's maybe a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a ton. I
know.
I don't remember how
we'll
many.
We'll just say dozens.
Yeah. There's quite a few.
Okay.
So we went through each individual one and we tried the commercial examples of those so that we could kind of calibrate our palates and our minds. We could make a connection from our palate to our brain know, okay, this is a style for an ice box. This is what a classical version of an ice box should taste like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
ice
so
box, BACBOCK. Just
yes,
by the way, not ice box.
Yeah, EISBOCK.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so
truly German.
German beer is real high in alcohol, very malty.
Right.
Yeah.
So you found an example to measure against. You connect the dot
right
from your mouth and your brain.
So that if we have a competition, then we also have the guidelines we can read on. But if we have a competition, we now have something to calibrate against to give the brewer a meaningful score.
Sure.
On their style. How did they do against a classical example?
Okay.
And that's the premise behind the BJCP, is to educate and advance beer for brewers, people wanting to get some feedback on their beer.
Cool.
And it has made me a better brewer tenfold.
Because?
Because I learned all the flaws that we're looking for and where those flaws come from.
So you can back that up. You can look, okay, so I don't want this to happen. So these are some of the common causes of that happening, right? That off flavor, that defect. So then you can try to avoid that.
And it's because of that that I was able to design the summer ale and say, I don't want the clove and banana flavor.
I'm going to use a different yeast.
I'm going to use a cleaner yeast, not a wheat-based yeast, so that the lemon comes out in it.
Sure. Hell, you make my mouth water on that one, too. Yeah. It's about dinner time anyway. So, let's see, what was my question? It was, were you judged as a home brewer?
Would be my next one. Yes.
Okay, and do you remember that the first time your beer was judged?
It was exciting.
Yeah? Yes. Tell us a little bit about that first beer judge, or the first time one of your home brews was judged.
I called it a coriander copper oak something or other, but anyway, it went in, I don't even remember what category now I put it in, but it was this oak-aged malty beer, and I got a white ribbon for it, and it was fairly decent, but I remember I was so excited just to get anything, because there were like 180 entries or something in this competition.
Wow. And was everybody on the same plane? Were there different category breakouts?
You get categories, yeah. Okay. You get categories. But in order to ribbon, you need to get above a 30.
And what's the scale?
The scale is zero. Well, we give a minimum. I think a minimum is about 14 to 19 points would be the minimum just for making an attempt.
Okay.
In other words, your beer is greatly flawed, lots of flaws in it. Mm-hmm. You're at least going to get a 14 or a 19. It's something like that. I can't remember. I've never given a minimum, so I don't even know what the score is. But then all the way up to a 50.
50, okay.
And 50s are just as rare as a 14.
Okay.
They generally don't happen.
Okay.
So above a 30 is considered a great beer.
Okay.
And so to even ribbon in a competition, you've got to at least score a 30 or above average. They'll take all the judges that judged your beer, add them up, and divide by the number of judges to get an average.
Okay. So right out of the chute, you get a high-ranking beer, and that's pretty darn exciting.
It was good. Yeah, it was fun.
That's pretty cool. Congratulations. Have you replicated that beer? Have you made it again?
I have not made it again.
Okay.
My dad really liked it, and he wanted me to make it again, but... being a home brewer, I think it was fermented in my house.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what the temperature was in the house.
And sure.
It'd be really difficult
kind of a wild
to
animal.
Recreate. Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's cool. Excellent. You are listening to Beer Radio. I am Ginger Johnson, your host. We are coming to you live from Ashland, Oregon on 89.5 FM, KSKQ.org. Every Wednesday weekday, 5 to 6 p.m. live. Love live radio with all the errors and all. You can stream us at kskq.org live, and you can also visit our archives. We've got lots of great guests, including this program, which will be archived. Our guest, Craig McFeeters from Bricktown Brewing. We've had guests from all over the map. We've had Renee DeLuca from Brewer's Daughter. We've had Stephen Powells from Boulevard Beer. We've had Sarah Huska from the Cicerone Certification Program, and so many great people. We've had a home brewer, Sue Shelters, that lives right here in Southern Oregon. So we appreciate you tuning in. We really appreciate it when you share. You can find us online at Women Enjoy Beer. WomenEnjoyingBeer.com, that's my website and my business, and beer educators for both consumers and the industry. You can tweet along with us at WomenEnjoyBeer. You can hashtag Beer Radio, one word. And you can check us out on Facebook. Let us know what's on your mind. Talk to us. Tell us requests, guests you'd like us to have, guests you'd like us to have back. And we appreciate all that. We're going to take a break for another sponsor message and be right back with Beer Radio.
Just Imagine It, Inc. proudly supports KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. Just Imagine It, Inc. is a resource for ebook publishing, audiobook sales, and more. They are now presenting a new podcast, Get Behind Me, Now Stay There. It offers art and entertainment news, as well as interviews with authors, poets, and even just the guy down the street. Visit justimagineitinc.com for more information. KSKQ thanks Just Imagine It, Inc. and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
Everybody, welcome back to Beer Radio. Thanks for tuning in, thanks for streaming, and thanks for checking out the archives, depending on what stage of the game you're at. I am Ginger Johnson, your host here at Beer Radio. We come to you live from Ashland, Oregon, unless we're out and about, every Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're here on the West Coast, a little bit of beer country going on out here. We have our special guest, Craig McFeeters, today, the founder and brewer at Bricktown Brewing. We'll get back to him in just a few moments. Just want to remind you that you are listening to Beer Radio on community-supported radio, KSKQ.org. We're in the middle of a little bit of fundraising, so I'm going to pretend this is my stump. Every dollar that you give goes to good use, and we can put some power to the tower. We just graduated from low power to high power. That means that way more people can get the signal on their radio instead of having to stream it, which streaming's great, but it's nice when people driving through our fabulous Rogue Valley can get it on their radio. In fact, we just had an old friend come and stay with us last night, just completely from the hip, and he was listening to one of our other KSKQ shows on the way here, and that's pretty cool. So please consider giving. You can do it right online, very easy, very painlessly at kskq.org. You can find us and tell us what you think about Beer Radio any time of the day or night, whatever's convenient for you, and we will get you a response. If you're looking for a response, you can email me directly, ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. That is my business. We're beer educators for both consumers and the industry. We tweet at Women Enjoy Beer and hashtag Beer Radio, and then we're also on Facebook, so feel free. Our guest, Craig McFeeters with Bricktown Brewing, he can be found at bricktownbeer.com, so it's BRICKTOWNEBEER.com, and you should check them out because they are high-quality beer, nice site, getting better all the time. Craig, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So we've talked a little bit about the history of how Bricktown Brewing came to be, how you started as a home brewer. You got a one-barrel system right now, which is cranking out some great beer. Tell us again some places where people can find your beer.
At Roscoe's Barbecue in Phoenix, Shoji's Teppanyaki Japanese Restaurant, over by Rogue Valley Medical Center in Medford, Cedar Links Golf Course in Medford, and we're also at the Bad Monkey in Culver, Oregon. If you're ever on your way to Lake Billy Chinook for recreating...
Like, where do you come up with all these words, Craig?
You can, I don't know.
Billy Chinook?
Lake Billy Chinook.
Is that one word?
Yeah.
Or is there actually, is there like a Chinook that goes by the name Billy, or...
I don't know. I didn't name it. I just call it what it is. But it's also called the Cove. Some people know it as the Cove.
That's more boring. I like Billy Chinook.
Lake Billy Chinook. Lake yeah, Billy it's Chinook. We're the Metolius, the Deschutes, and...
There's another one.
Yeah, Metolius, Deschutes, and Crooked Rivers all come together.
Okay.
And makes a reservoir. Wow.
Okay.
And so a lot of people go there for recreation in Central Oregon.
Oh, it's a great place to go. When I go skiing there this winter, I'll make sure... And, well, I might be in Bend before that. Because it's close to Bend, right?
Yeah, it's actually closer to Madras, probably.
Okay.
Which is north of Bend.
Cool.
But
just another great reason for a road
lot
trip.
Of Bendites go to...
go as opposed to Benders?
Like, yeah, I don't know.
Bendonians?
Bendonians, there we go.
They're next to Billy Chinook. Okay. So... All right, back to beer. Craig is another member of this fabulous beer community that's made up of everybody from consumers and homebrewers to professionals and distributors and so forth. So we're glad to be here on the airwaves at kskq.org. And if I haven't told you guys lately, thanks for letting me be here. Tell me, Craig, what kind of beers do you enjoy drinking that aren't your own?
Probably my favorite beers are traditional... German Pilsners. At certain times of the year, around October, I really love Oktoberfest.
Yum.
That's I don't think beer gets to be more like beer except for Oktoberfest. I mean,
say that again. You don't think?
I mean, it's just so beery. I don't know. How do you describe an Oktoberfest? It is beer. It's classical beer, and I love Oktoberfest.
What do you love about it?
It's bready. It's malty. It attenuated. It is just a tad high. So.
Explain the attenuation word for those people.
Oh, that's how well the yeast eats the sugars and drops the beer down in its specific gravity at the end. A lot of beers finish around a specific gravity of anywhere from 10.10 to 10.12. And I believe an Oktoberfest is around 10.14 to 10.16.
So that's high.
Which makes it gives it just a little bit of residual sweetness at the very end, but not too much. You know, some beers will finish at 10.20, which is probably too sweet for a lot of people.
You're geeking out on the terms.
I'm
love
sorry.
It. No apologies. Don't you dare apologize.
I'm a total beer nerd.
That's good. No, I know we've got some listeners that want to hear about it. So that's great. I'm just giving you the business. And big reason why, well, one of the core reasons why Women Enjoying Beer is around, and for sure why Beer Radio is around, is to have conversations like this and to educate. So keep them coming. We got Billy Chinook, we've got attenuation, we've got all kinds of things going on. So one thing I want to talk about with you, Craig, is we're really excited because Women Enjoying Beer gets to serve your beer at the Ashland First Friday. And I think a lot of communities have a First Friday kind of art walk feel event going on a regular basis. Now in Southern Oregon, because it's relatively warm year round, it goes on year round. So every first Friday of the month, Ashland's got I would say dozens of galleries, but there's a lot on that art walk. I don't know how many, but, and I recently met one of the gallery managers, and she said she and the owner were talking about serving beer for a change instead of wine. And, you know, first of all, we're not against wine. We think wine is great. Lots of great fermented beverages out there. The exciting thing is that they're the first gallery that we know of that wants to take that leap into beer. I've had a lot of women that come to Women Enjoying Beer events say, you know, I would go to Art Walk if there was beer. So I went back to Kim, the gal at Illahee Gallery, and I said, Kim, what do you know, you're barking up the right tree, and I'm going to be able to help cross-market this and so forth, and this is exciting. So you and I have come to an agreement that we get to serve one of your beers, and I'm very excited about that. Thanks again.
Yeah, no problem.
And a totally new market. Whole bunch of people have been doing this. They say they get probably 150 to 200 people through the doors every time they do this. And so that's happening on August 5th. It's Friday next, from 5 to 8 p.m. All the details are on our womenenjoyingbeers.com/events page, so check it out. I want you to tell everybody, Craig, about the beer that we're getting to serve at that event next week.
It is my Cabernet Oak Ale. It is a amber ale that was aged in a local Cabernet wine barrel. And so it took on some of the Cabernet wine flavors. It's a cross between a beer and a wine. It's more beer than it is wine, obviously. But it's interesting because you first drink it and you're like, oh, that's a beer. But then you're like, oh, I do taste some Cabernet in it. Mm-hmm. I taste some wine.
Hmm.
It's real mellow. One of the things I found, that beer was pretty hoppy. One of the things I found was by putting it in that oak barrel,
mm-hmm.
it virtually took the hops right out of it.
Really?
Yeah, it just sucked the hops out.
So it took
out
a lot of the bitterness.
It did.
Out of that flavor profile.
It took some of the flavoring hops out, too, which was interesting. And then that Cabernet is showcasing itself in there in the finish.
Nice.
So, I don't know. I've had some people. It's been a mixed review on that beer. I've had some people that really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had other people that say, yeah, it's good. And then me, myself, I don't care for it. I'm not going to brew it again. But, you know what? Other people like it. So, the taste is not all about me. If it was all about me, I would just make Oktoberfest, and that's all I'd brew.
Because beer just doesn't get any beerier.
That's right. No beerier.
I'm going to start using that ruthlessly. I like that. So I think it's also an interesting beer because if we're going from people that are going to this event, going to the Illahee Gallery and expecting wine, they're going to get this amazing, what I would call, entry beer or crossover beer because it was truly aged in a wine barrel. And so I am really excited, and I will definitely share reactions and so forth with you after that. So that's
And I
really
was told
cool.
The barrel came from Del Rio Winery.
Oh, okay. And that is right here in Southern Oregon, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's on I-5.
You were told.
Between
Reliable
Grants
source or somebody in protection agency or what?
The lady I bought the barrel from.
All right. Excellent. Well, I'm excited about it. Thanks again. So anybody who's interested, come on out. Tell your friends. We're going to be at Illahee Gallery. It's I-L-L-A-H-E. It's an Indian name, or Indian word, I should say. On August 5th, Friday next, we got a whole bunch of events coming up, and we're definitely looking at collaborating with you, Craig, in the future, maybe at Cedar Links, maybe some other ways mm-hmm. to feature Bricktown beer, because you've been so great and open to Women Enjoying Beer. So thanks again about that. I hope it's not a problem. Is there a problem?
None at all.
There's no problem in the house. No. My pleasure. So we're excited. Bricktown Brewing, tell everybody once again where we can find you online.
www.bricktownbeer.com. Bricktown with an E at the end of town. So bricktownybeer.com. All one word.
You know, have you thought of using that for a beer name in the future? Have like some sort of downtowny brownie or something like that?
And mix it with beery? I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, right, because beery doesn't just get any better or beerier than that.
Yeah, beerier. You got the Bricktowny beerier.
That's right. Are you from Boston? Is that a beerier? No, that's not a barrier. That's a barrier. All right, we've just got a minute or two left, and then we're going to be out of here so Lenny can get in here and wow us with great Radio 80s show. Craig, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are. Anytime you want to be had, you just come on back. Okay. Keep us posted. Let us know what's going on for Bricktown. We're excited. Oh, and then tell us, like, in 30 seconds or less, tell us about this marshmallow project. Marshmallow Project.
Yeah, we were given a Frito-Lay truck. It's like it's an old one. And my dad painted it all white. Bumpers, everything is white, and we're calling it the Marshmallow, and it's going to be our beer truck. We're going to put tap handles on the side and take it to festivals with our logos on the side. And it's actually going to act as my walk-in cooler in my driveway, because I need more refrigeration. That's kind of my problem right now. So
awesome. So around the gas cap, you know, fueled by beer.
Yeah, we were thinking driver, I don't know, something about beer inside, driver.
No cash, but plenty of beer.
Driver makes frequent stops or something. something to that effect. Yeah.
Well, beer is a social lubricant. You have been listening to Beer Radio. We have had our special guest, Craig McFeeters, on from BricktownBrewing.com. Thanks again, Craig.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to sign off. This is Ginger Johnson, your host of Beer Radio, coming to you live from Oregon or other parts around this fabulous globe of ours every Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Join us again next week. Next week, let's see, who's our guest next week? Next week, I'm rifling through my memory, and I can't remember right now, but we've got a fabulous lineup. We've got people lined up through October, all kinds of different people from the beer community. And so join us again. Stream it at kskq.org. Archive, check out the archived shows, not the orchived shows. And share the word. Thanks so much. Cheers, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sicher muss der Wein vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute. Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier. Drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken wir unser Bier.
Jeder Mensch hat seinen Tick und seine Eigenart.
Eine fliegt auf glatt rasiert, die andere auf den Bart.
Einer möchte nur Fußball spielen, dem anderen ist das Durst.
Wir allein gestehen es ein, wir haben immer Durst.
Sicher muss der Wein vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute.
Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier,
drum trinken wir es hier.
Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier,
trinken die anderen unser Bier.
So long.